So imagine walking into like this enormous warehouse-sized grocery store. The shelves just go on for miles and miles.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, but there's this one major problem with the store. All the labels, like every single one, have been completely stripped off the cans, the boxes, the bottles, everything.
Sounds like a nightmare, honestly.
Right. And you're there because you desperately need, say, tomato soup, but you're just standing in this aisle, staring at thousands of identical silver
You'd
cylinders.
have absolutely no idea what you're looking at.
Exactly. I mean, you could
Really?
shake them, you could, try to guess or open them up one by one, but
Oh,
honestly,
yeah.
you're mostly just going to leave and find a store that actually tells you what's inside the packaging.
Yeah, and that is exactly the experience artificial intelligence has when it crawls a poorly structured website.
Yes.
And what's really striking here is that thousands of businesses are willingly handing search engines this giant warehouse of blank silver cans. And they just expect these sophisticated algorithms to magically deduce which one contains the tomato soup.
It's wild. Welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. We're exploring a fascinating guiding document today. It's called Schema.org 2026, the OC Business Guide to Structured Data.
Which I know on the surface, a title like that sounds like a dense manual.
Yeah, oh, totally. It's
Yeah.
something written strictly for web developers sitting in some windowless server room.
Right, but looking through these notes, it actually becomes incredibly clear that this is a critical playbook. Like, it's for business survival, building customer trust, and even boardroom alignment in 2026.
Yeah, it takes these really abstract SEO concepts and turns them into a tangible business reality, which I am super excited to unpack today.
Same here. Because, the landscape of search has just fundamentally shifted beneath our feet. We are no longer living in that era of like 10 blue links on a search page.
Right, the classic Google page is gone.
Exactly. We are firmly in the era of answer engine optimization. So search systems, especially the ones driven by generative AI, they're actively compiling complete summaries and rich results now.
They're not just fetching links anymore.
No, they don't just want to match a keyword from a user's query to a keyword on your page. They need to understand the exact nature of the entities they're looking at, and how they actually relate to the real world.
So, okay, let's unpack this for a second. If you're listening to this, you already know that content is king, right? We don't need to rehash the importance of writing good articles or, having a fast website.
Right, that's just table stakes at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what this guide really exposes is that even world-class content is effectively invisible to an answer engine if those entity relationships aren't clearly mapped out in the code.
Yes, and that is exactly where schema.org comes in. It's essentially this shared vocabulary used to identify organizations, locations, services, FAQs, all in a format that machines can process instantly.
It's like a highly detailed digital nutritional label for your business.
That's a great way to put it. To really understand the nuts and bolts of this, we have to look at how these answer engines physically parse the data. Because traditional search engines, they would crawl the HTML text of a page and like try to infer meaning based on proximity and backlinks. But modern AI systems, they look for a precision layer.
A precision layer. Got it.
Yeah, they're looking for specific scripts, usually written in a format called JSON LD, which is embedded directly into the code.
And for those who haven't looked under the hood of a website recently, JSON LD is essentially the coding language used to write those digital nutritional labels we mentioned.
Right. It sits quietly in the background, just telling the bot exactly what ingredients are inside the page. So when the JSON LD explicitly states, organization A employs author B who wrote article C about service D.
It connects all the dots.
Exactly. It provides mathematical certainty to the AI. It no longer has to guess.
But, and this is a big but, having perfectly formatted code doesn't really matter if the underlying data is a lie, right? Or just thin.
Oh, absolutely not. The guide is very explicit about this. Structured data is not a replacement for strong content.
Right. Which brings us to the myth of the magic SEO wand. Because I feel like that is a source of massive frustration for businesses right now.
Oh, it really is. Because people think, I added the code. Where's my ranking?
Exactly.
Oh.
Let me play devil's advocate here for a second. If I do all this tedious coding to spoon-feed Google my data perfectly, shouldn't they owe me that shiny rich result on the search page? Like, shouldn't I get the star ratings and the FAQ drop-downs?
Well, they absolutely do not owe you that. And that's actually a brilliant point regarding resource allocation.
Gee, how so?
Because a page can have flawless, perfectly validated JSON LD markup and still be completely ignored for a rich enhancement.
Wait, really? even if the code is 100% perfect.
Yep, because schema.org is just the vocabulary. It's an open source dictionary. But Google Search Central and the guidelines of other answer engines, they actually set the rules for who gets rewarded.
So they evaluate the entire package.
Precisely. The structured data has to be accurate, but if the visible content on the page is weak or unhelpful or just fails Google's broader quality guidelines, that schema tag is not going to save it.
So rich results are an opportunity, not a guarantee.
Yes. Schema amplifies what is already there, but, you know, it cannot amplify a void.
Wow. Okay. So the presentation might be technically perfect, but if the substance isn't there, the algorithm just passes.
Exactly.
Let's take this out of the theoretical realm and apply it to the physical world, because the source focuses heavily on a specific, highly competitive battleground, which is Orange County, California.
Right, the Orange County Crucible. It's fascinating.
It really is. Why do you think it serves as such a perfect case study in this document?
Well, what's fascinating here is that it's this incredibly dense market. It's filled with multi-location businesses, specialized medical clinics, high-end B2B services.
Lots of competition.
Exactly. And in an environment like that, the accuracy of your digital footprint isn't just some abstract IT metric. It is literally the foundation of your local market credibility.
Yeah, the guide dives deep into local business markup, detailing the mechanics of, like, AI trust. It emphasizes NIP data, so that's name, address, phone number, along with opening hours, and these things called same A's profiles.
Yes, the same A's tags are so important.
They really are, because they allow a business to explicitly tell the AI, hey, the company on this website is the exact same entity as this verified LinkedIn page and this Better Business Bureau profile and this specific Wikipedia article.
It weaves a complete web of verified identity.
Right. But consider what happens when that web breaks.
It's a disaster. Because when an answer engine crawls a page and sees, say, one address in the JSON LD, but then the visible text on the contact page says something completely different.
Oh, and then maybe the Google business profile says a third thing.
Right. The AI just loses confidence in the entity entirely. It's not going to sit there and try to guess which address is correct. It simply drops the rich result to protect the end user from a bad experience.
And that is a direct hit to customer trust. Like, imagine a patient drives to an Irvine dental clinic because the AI summary pulled stale business hours from neglected structured data.
Oh, no.
And the clinic is closed. That business hasn't just lost a single appointment. They have actively destroyed trust with a consumer who will probably never return.
Never. And it extends deep into the service pages, too. The guide uses this example of an Orange County cybersecurity firm.
Okay, yeah.
The markup on their service pages needs to provide the organization details, the specific service context, and highly relevant FAQs.
Not just generic FAQs, right?
Exactly. Not generic. Specific local concerns, like implementation steps, compliance standards, local timelines. Because when the underlying technology perfectly maps to the user's highly specific query, the AI confidently elevates that business as the definitive answer.
That makes total sense. Now, I noticed the guide also includes a very strict warning about marking up invisible content.
Oh, yeah. The hidden text trick.
Yes. Because I've seen businesses try to game the system this way. They'll hide this massive list of neighboring city zip codes or, like, exaggerated service offerings in the JSON LD code.
Hoping to rank in areas they don't even serve.
Right. They figure, well, the human user is never going to see the hidden code anyway, so what's the harm?
It is such a common temptation, but an incredibly dangerous one mechanically.
Why is it so dangerous now?
Because modern algorithms don't just read the raw code anymore. They render the page exactly as a human browser would.
Oh, wow. So they can see what's hidden.
Exactly. They actively cross-reference the JSON LD payload against the visible DOM, the document object model.
So if the structured data claims the page contains an FAQ about, say, Newport Beach IT compliance, but that text is nowhere to be found on the actual visible screen,
the algorithm flags it as a deceptive practice immediately.
The invisible loss. Because customers don't call a business to say, hey, I was going to hire you, but your structured data was misleading, so the AI recommended your competitor.
Right. You never get that phone call.
The business just loses the opportunity invisibly and has no idea why.
Hmm.
But this introduces a massive operational challenge, right?
It really does.
Let's say a business does everything perfectly. They build the pristine schema, the entity relationships are mapped, the hours are perfectly aligned, they deploy it. But websites are not static objects, they're living documents.
Which brings us to the maintenance trap.
Yes.
Because Structured data goes stale incredibly fast. Like, a clinic changes its holiday hours, a law firm adds a new partner, or maybe a retail location moves across town.
And if the structured data isn't actively maintained alongside the visible text,
you immediately create the exact conflicts the AI penalizes.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's kind of like a restaurant leaving last year's menu taped to the front window, right?
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, like the kitchen inside has completely changed the ingredients. They're cooking a totally different style of food now, but the AI bot is only reading that old menu in the window. And when a customer orders a dish that no longer exists, the whole operational system breaks down. The visible world changed, but the hidden data didn't.
That restaurant analogy perfectly captures the friction of system decay. But, you know, it isn't always human error or neglected updates causing the problem.
It's not. What else is it?
Often, it's an active collision of overlapping technologies. The guide dedicates a significant section to this, specifically highlighting what they call the WordPress problem.
Oh, the WordPress problem. This is where the mechanics of website management really clash with answer engine optimization.
Big time.
So consider a standard business website running on WordPress. The marketing team has installed an SEO plugin to handle basic meta tags, right?
Yep, very common.
Then they're using a specialized e-commerce plugin to sell digital products. They've got an events calendar plugin for their upcoming webinars. And the entire site is built using a visual page builder.
And every single one of those tools is programmed to be, quote unquote, helpful. So independently, each plugin just injects its own JSON-LD script right into the header of the website.
And suddenly you have this massive collision. Like the page builder's code tells the AI bot, hey, this page is a generic article, but the SEO plugin says, no, this is a local business.
Right. And then the e-commerce tool insists, no, this is a product, and the calendar tool tags it as an event.
It's like four people yelling different things at the exact same time.
Exactly. So when the AI bot arrives to crawl the page, it reads this fragmented, conflicting JSON-L array. It sees four completely different definitions of what the exact same URL is supposed to be.
So what does the bot do?
This triggers a logic failure. The AI cannot synthesize a definitive answer, so it just abandons the rich result entirely.
Wow, just walks away.
Yep. This is why the guide argues so strongly that technical quality assurance has to actively decide which system actually owns the markup.
So schema maintenance really belongs in active technical SEO services, not just treated as a one-time setup project.
Exactly. Because if it is treated as a set-it-and-forget-it project, the warning signs of failure start flashing long before the organic traffic completely plummets.
Yeah, the guide lists those warning signs out pretty clearly. Teams relying on manual workarounds, slow page response times because of bloated code, confusing analytics reports, and just a general reliance on fragmented tools.
But this raises an important question. Who is actually watching the dashboard? Because transitioning from fixing those technical failures in the server room to preventing them through broader company culture, that is the true crux of this document.
It really is. Why does technical maintenance fail? It almost always stems from a lack of leadership alignment.
Right. We have to move from the server room to the boardroom.
But how do you even do that? Like, how do you translate a JSON-LD syntax error into a language the boardroom actually cares about? You can't just walk into a quarterly planning meeting with the executive team and start diagramming overlapping WordPress plugins.
No, their eyes would just glaze over immediately. You have to elevate the conversation to business risk. You don't talk about schema conflicts. You talk about revenue risk, compliance, productivity, and customer experience.
Okay, give me an example.
So if a local business's operating hours are rendering incorrectly in AI summaries because of a plugin conflict, you don't call it a plugin conflict. That is an immediate customer experience failure.
Oh, I see.
Or if an Orange County cybersecurity firm is miscommunicating its primary service focus to the answer engines, that directly impacts pipeline lead quality.
You're tying the invisible code directly to the bottom line. That makes a lot of sense. The guide also outlines an evidence-based approach to budgeting and prioritization to address this, right?
Yes, it advises separating urgent risk reduction, so things that protect immediate revenue and compliance from strategic enhancements.
Like automating new markup, or maybe pursuing a new rich result category to edge out a competitor.
Exactly. And that prioritization cannot be based on whichever executive is complaining the loudest that week.
Right. The squeaky wheel doesn't always need the grease here.
No, it has to be grounded in evidence. Teams need to utilize server logs, crawl analytics, user feedback, and security alerts to decide where the resources actually go.
So if the server logs show that the AI bots are completely abandoning the crawl process on key service pages due to bloated code, that becomes an urgent priority.
Bingo. And, you know, this also radically changes the dynamic with outside partners and vendors.
Oh, for sure. Because most businesses are not handling this level of technical SEO entirely in-house. They hire agencies.
Right. And the guide sets a very strict standard for vendor accountability here. Outside partners must have clearly documented expectations regarding response times and escalation paths.
Especially during high-risk periods, like a site migration or something.
Exactly. An agency shouldn't just be, you know, performing tasks in the dark and sending a generic invoice every month. They need to be actively helping leadership understand how these technical improvements are impacting the bottom line.
And that ties directly back into how the organization handles its own internal documentation, too.
Yes, it does.
The guide advocates for what it calls practical documentation. And we aren't talking about massive 100-page binders that just gather dust on a server somewhere.
No one reads those.
Right. We are talking about short operating notes, like specific checklists for when a new page is published and a clear list detailing exactly who owns which plugin.
Because the underlying goal here is to eliminate what they call memory-based risk.
Memory-based risk. I love that term.
It's so accurate, right? If your operational stability depends on one specific developer remembering why a certain piece of structured data was hard-coded 3 years ago, you are carrying massive, entirely avoidable risk into the next quarter.
Because if that developer leaves or wins the lottery, your digital visibility shouldn't just collapse.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? Like, which brings us to the ultimate question for anyone managing these systems, whether you are a founder or a marketing director prepping for a vendor meeting or an operations manager trying to clean up a messy website architecture.
Right.
How do you actually measure if this schema implementation is working without just drowning in endless analytics dashboards?
Well, the document provides a highly practical roadmap for measurement. It advises keeping the scorecard exceptionally simple.
How simple are we talking?
Very simple. You start with a very small set of indicators, like 3 to 5 metrics at most.
Okay, so no 50-page spreadsheet reports.
Definitely not. You might look for a reduction in technical crawl incidents or faster page response times, a measurable improvement in lead quality, or even just a decrease in the amount of rework required by the web team.
So the metric has to inherently match the business reason for undertaking the project in the first place.
Precisely. You aren't measuring the volume of JSON-LD code written. You are measuring the business impact of that code.
Right.
And to operationalize that, the guide suggests implementing a management habit they call the 30-day review.
The 30-day review. How does that work?
It relies on 3 core pillars: one owner, one timeline, and one meeting. So after the first 30 days of implementing a new structured data strategy, you review exactly what changed, what improved, and where the new friction points emerged.
And you compare those outcomes strictly against your original baseline, right? Not just against subjective feelings of whether the new code, like, seems to be working.
Exactly. Hard data only. And based on that evidence, leadership makes a definitive decision on whether to expand the project, pause it to fix systemic issues, or just adjust the overall approach.
I love that. It takes a process that is often viewed as this mysterious, overwhelming technical burden and turns it into a repeatable, highly measurable business habit.
It really demystifies the whole thing.
We have covered incredible ground today. Just to quickly recap, we started by defining how answer engines have moved way beyond keyword matching to demand actual entity clarity. They really rely on the precision layer of schema vocabulary to understand exactly what a business is.
Right. And we examine the hard truth that pristine code cannot save weak content, and how perfectly valid schema only provides the opportunity for rich results, not a guarantee.
Then we looked closely at the local stakes in Orange County, where mismatched phone numbers and invisible hidden text don't just hurt rankings, they actively destroy real-world customer trust.
Yeah, and we analyze the mechanics of the maintenance trap, exploring how overlapping plugins create those logic failures that force AI bots to just abandon the page completely.
And finally, we concluded by moving from the server room to the boardroom, highlighting how you have to translate syntax errors into revenue risk, prioritize based on server log evidence, and use the 30-day review to actually measure tangible business progress.
It's a complete shift in how businesses need to operate digitally.
And to you, listening right now, whether you are managing a massive international e-commerce platform or running a regional medical clinic, or maybe just organizing an internal team project, the principles of maintaining clear documentation and actively hunting down memory-based risk apply to absolutely every operation. Do not let the success of your digital infrastructure rely on what one person happens to remember about the setup.
Yeah, and as we wrap up this analysis, I actually want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. It's kind of inspired by the trajectory of these technologies we've been talking about.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Well, if schema.org is the foundational language that makes a business mathematically comprehensible to the generative AI machines of 2026, what happens to the organizations that choose to remain digitally illiterate?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Right. As answer engines transition fully away from providing users with a list of links to click through, and they move exclusively towards synthesizing single definitive answers, will the invisible businesses, the ones still stocking the shelves with those blank silver cans, simply cease to exist in the minds of tomorrow's consumers?
Wow. That is a profound reality to consider as we navigate this shift. You certainly don't want to be the store with the blank labels when the algorithm comes looking for an answer.
Definitely not.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of modern search. Keep asking the big questions, keep seeking clarity in your own systems, and we will catch you next time.